Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
So many people in this world are striving to recover from addictions, from past abusive situations, and even from the consequences of bad decisions. Does this describe you or someone that you love? Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Dr. Paul Chappell, Recovery with God. Stay with us. So many people in our world are in the process of recovery. So many of us have been hurt. So many of us have made bad decisions that have led to difficult and painful, long-lasting consequences. So many of us have faced abusive situations where somebody in our past did something or even continually did something that dramatically impacted our lives. And yet others are struggling with substance abuse, like alcohol or drugs. Well, maybe someone you know is dealing with one of these things. Whatever the need, recovery, authentic, lasting, life-changing recovery from the inside out, truly does begin with God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the preaching, the teaching, the encouragement of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series presently is entitled Recovery with God. This is an entire series of messages that help take a life from the very beginning of life with God through a process of restoration and growth and true, lasting, authentic life change. I'll tell you in a moment how you can download this entire series and maybe give it to a friend, or you can listen to recent broadcasts if you're coming into the middle of the program. We would love for this series to touch your life in a very special way. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to this program via a podcast. You can listen to recent programs or download them and listen to them later. You could pass it along to a friend. There are many other resources on the website that will encourage you in your Christian life and in your walk with the Lord. And there's also a way that you can be a part of the ministry of Daily in the Word. Would you prayerfully consider a monthly contribution to help us cover the costs of airtime and supporting this ministry? Your investment is an investment into the Word of God going into the hearts and lives of people all across the country and even in many foreign countries. Take a moment and visit Daily in the Word and consider joining us in the effort of teaching and preaching the Word of God. And now it's the time we've been waiting for. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. We start today with a message entitled, Beginning Again. I love where this series begins. Here's Paul Chappell.
It is apparent that as Mary and the other disciples arrive early on that first resurrection morning, they came to a place feeling as though their lives had come to an end. They really were not only distraught, not only were they overwhelmed with sorrow, but the one that they had really thought would do so much for them had now disappeared from the scene. His life was taken away. And you know, on the journey of our lives, there oftentimes come those times when we feel like we've hit a roadblock. We feel like we have come to the end, so to speak. We feel as though we have failed permanently and there's no way to get back to the place where we started. It seems as though that life is not always as simple as a computer where you can just type Control-Alt-Delete and start all over again and hit that restart button. It seems much more difficult than that. Marriage troubles can shake someone to the very core of their soul and, and it seems like several fights in a row and maybe other trials compounding in the family life can bring someone to that place of despair, thinking that it's not worth trying anymore. And sometimes health problems in our family can bring us to this type of a feeling where we feel helpless and hopeless and we just don't understand why we've come to that place in our life. Sometimes financial troubles bring a person to the end of themselves and to that impasse and that roadblock. You know, the times like when you get a letter from American Express telling you to leave home without it. You know you've come to a difficult time financially, and that reminds us of our failures and of our limits. And so we endeavor to overcome habits, and we endeavor to overcome hurts and trials of this life, but oftentimes we feel as though it's just a futile effort. And over the last several weeks, we have been preaching a series of messages about recovery and how to be overcomers in this life. And we have learned that if we want to recover, if we want to begin again, that many times there are obstacles even to that process. Some people get into something called denial. And rather than really appropriating God's word to their life, they somehow deny that they have a problem, and they deny that they're really at an impasse, and oftentimes that denial makes the problem worse. And I suppose all of us have been in some stage of denial in our lives, and most wives here would say, yeah, that's true. My husband is in denial. Every time he's driving and he's lost at the steering wheel, he denies that he's lost. And he just drives and drives and drives and somehow finally comes to the end of his destination. And I don't know how you men feel about it, but my feeling on that is, why stop and get directions when you already know where you are? And thus proving that we sometimes do enter into denial just for a little bit. But some folks don't try the route of denial. They try the route of control, and they don't need help, and they don't need the Bible, and they don't need to listen to what God's Word says because they can work their way through. They can control their situation, but ultimately they find that there are just some situations that we can't control. And so it is that we come to these times in our lives where we hit a roadblock. We come to the end of ourselves. And yet this morning, I believe that the empty tomb is a reminder for all of us that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can begin again. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a second chance. You see, when Jesus arose, He planted the only durable rumor of hope amidst a widespread rumor of despair in this world. Jesus says, I know that there's a lot of bad news abounding, but I bring to you the hope that only the empty tomb can offer. Now this morning, I want to introduce you to three people who thought their lives had come to an end. I mean, they thought that they had hit a roadblock over which they could never pass. And I want you to see in these three people certain analogies that I think all of us face sometime in our lives. First of all, we see in the scripture this morning, Mary. Mary was grieving. We see this woman as she is distraught. We see her filled with grief. And we're reminded of one of the great realities of life, and that is the reality of loss. We see the realization of her loss. The realization of her loss came home to her when she saw her Savior, her Messiah, suffering on the cross. When she saw Him lifted up, suspended between heaven and earth, the blood flowing down, the crown of thorns upon His head, the spear being thrust through His side. The Bible says in John 19 and verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was one of the last to leave the cross. She was the first to come to the empty tomb. No doubt in her mind were the memories flooding through of the first time that she had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. For Mary Magdalene's life had been plagued by demons. She had lived a life of ill repute. She was a total failure in life, we would say, by today's standards. But one day she met the Lord Jesus Christ, and she put her faith in Him as Savior. She put her trust in Him as Messiah, and she followed Him as a faithful disciple all the rest of His days. But then they took Him. And the mob angrily said, "Give us Barabbas," and crucify Jesus. And she watched her Messiah go up the hill of the skull, and she watched the Roman soldiers as they nailed him to the cross. The realization of loss was real to Mary. It was real not only because of the death of Christ, but now on this first Easter morning because of the loss of his body, or so she presumed. For the Bible says in John 20 and verse 2, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre." You see, not remembering some of the prophecies of Christ, not fully understanding what he meant when he said that even as Jonah was in the fish's belly, that even as he was resurrected, Jesus himself would be raised up again. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb that first Easter morning, and as she saw it being empty, she assumed that someone had stolen his body. And so now adding to her injury is the insult of the loss of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the realization of loss. But notice, secondly, the response to loss. Mary's response to loss. And we see the Bible in verse number 11 says, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping." Her response to loss was very normal. In fact, the word here, weeping, means to wail. She wasn't just crying a little bit, but she was screaming and wailing in agony as she saw this tomb and as she thought that the body had been taken away. May I say to you this morning that the grieving process in a person's life is as real and as necessary this morning as it was 2,000 years ago in Mary's life. The grieving process is a process where we need God's help if we will recover, if we will be whole, if we will go on with His strength. Zig Ziglar, in his book, Confessions of a Grieving Christian, stated, "The longest 24 hours in my life were the hours after my daughter's death. I walked throughout the night praying and crying. And when I returned home and opened the scriptures, the Lord assured me through His word that if I would just keep walking, and yes, keep praying, and keep reading His word, that He would see me through." And I say to you this morning that whether you lose a friend or a loved one to death or even to family separation, the pain is real and the loss is real in someone's life. But I want to show you the good news in Mary's life. I want you to see the recovery over her loss. I want you to notice that God allowed her to recover. God allowed her to overcome this roadblock. And we see how it happens in verse 15. The Bible says, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, I have borne him hence. If thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master." Here we see Mary wailing and weeping. Here we see her wondering where the body of Jesus was. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" I'm thankful this morning that the tears of Mary Magdalene touched the heart of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 4 that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You see, Jesus Christ walked on this earth and felt the hurt and the pain and the sorrow of this life. He knew what it was to lose loved ones. He knew what physical pain was all about. He knew what grief was all about. And so when He saw Mary Magdalene weeping, it touched His heart. And I submit to you this morning that He is not a Savior that cannot be touched, but He is touched with your tears and with my tears and with the grief that we feel in this life. And so He speaks to her, but she didn't know who He was. And she thought He was the gardener. And she says, if you have taken Him somewhere, tell me where and I'll take His body. And then He spoke to her again and He said, Mary. And undoubtedly at that moment, she recognized the voice of her Messiah. And the Bible says that she spoke unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She realized who this was. And since that day, the first day of the week has not been a day of mourning for the Christian, but it has indeed been a day of rejoicing. And Mary's sorrow immediately turned into delight when she realized this was the Son of God. And I submit to you this morning, the only way to recover over loss, the only way to truly recover over grief, is to understand that the tomb is empty and that Jesus Christ is here, and that Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, wants to indwell each of our lives and to walk with us and to speak His name to us that we might overcome the obstacle of grief. But notice a second person this morning. We see Mary, she was grieving. We see, secondly, Peter. He was running. Peter was on the run. Peter had failed God miserably. And I suppose all of us at times have done that. All of us at times could relate to Peter. And it would appear to me in reading John chapter 20 that as Peter and John, the beloved disciple, went to the tomb that first Easter morning, that when John saw the napkin laid in an orderly fashion, he believed. He remembered the prophecies. He believed that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. But Peter did not express similar belief. In fact, Peter goes a fishing the next day. Peter did not really express a great amount of hope in John chapter 20 initially. You see, he was struggling in his heart. Peter was the man who had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice, if you would, the realization of his sin. The realization of his sin was something that he was running from. We call it today guilt. We call it today perhaps a guilty conscience. The Bible tells us of this guilty conscience in Mark chapter 14 and verse 71. It says that Peter began to curse and swear, saying, "I know not this man." And some of you will recall this story. Peter was in the courtyard of the high priest's palace, and there he was warming his hands by the fire. Not far from where Jesus was being questioned, and not far from where Jesus was being whipped. And Peter's there warming his hands by the fire. And three times Peter denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Mark 14, 72, the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he thought thereon, and he wept. The Bible says in Luke 22, 60, and Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately when he yet spake, the cock crew. And verse 61 of Luke 22, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and he remembered the word of the Lord. I want you to imagine this in your heart and mind. Not only had Peter, the one who said, "I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll be right there with you, Lord. You can count on me." Not only had that same Peter denied the Lord once, he had denied him three times. And after the third time of cursing and denying the Lord Jesus walks by with his captors, and Peter's eyes meet the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to you that if there was ever a low point in Peter's life, it was right there. Because Peter realized he was an utter failure apart from the power of God. Peter realized he had denied his Messiah. And I believe there are many people here this morning who regret that we have not been more faithful to our Savior. Many this morning who realize that if Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God, and if Jesus Christ truly shed His blood for me, and if Jesus Christ loved me that much, then really I'm not living for Him the way that I should. And whether you call it guilt or conviction or somewhere in between, from time to time our heart is touched with that fact. And Peter was in the depths of despair over it, running from God. He was running from the realization of his sin. Secondly, he was running from his failure. He was running from his failure. Now notice what it says, if you would, in John 21 and verse 1. And I want you to see how Peter is running. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered the ship and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Here we see in the Word of God, Peter is still running. And Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to escape reality. I'm going to get away from this scene here and all of these memories. And I'm just going to go out and fish for a while." And he's still running from his failure rather than dealing with the matters at hand, rather than coming to a conclusion regarding his Christ. We see that he is running from the difficulty of his life. But notice, thirdly, his recovery from ruin. How did Peter recover? How could someone who had denied the Lord, how could someone who seemed to be such a failure really recover and begin again? How is that possible? Would you notice what the Bible says in verse 4, John 21, 4? But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. You know, I find great comfort in that verse. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. I want to remind you of something this morning. If Jesus Christ would go after Peter, if Jesus Christ would come to find Peter, who had denied him three times, who had cursed and said, I don't know this Christ, I don't believe in this Christ. If Jesus would come after that man, he'll come after you, my friend. He still loves you this morning. No matter how many times you feel you have failed, no matter how guilty you may feel about a particular situation, Jesus Christ loves you this morning. And when he died on that cross, he didn't die just for one or two sins, but he died for all of the sins of this world. He knew every sin before you had ever committed, and yet he loved you. And the Bible says that he bore in his body my sin and your sin, and he loves you today, and he comes for you. And so in verse number 4, Jesus is standing on the shore, and imagine Peter lonely and dejected and guilty and feeling as though life was come to an end, and he's out in this boat fishing all night and he didn't catch one thing. My friend, I've had times when I was feeling perfectly right with God and perfectly spiritual, and going out fishing and not catching anything is miserable all by itself. But feeling guilty and terrible and catching nothing, why, that's especially a bad day. And Peter had that kind of a day, and yet he looks out with all of the loneliness in soul, and there's a lone figure on the seashore looking to him. And that lone figure is the Son of God coming to help him recover in the faith. Notice the Bible says in verse number 12, after they come to the shore and after they had caught much in the way of fish, it says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. My friend, I want to tell you this morning that if you'll come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would recognize that his hand is out to you, calling out to you with forgiveness and offering to you recovery from sin and failure, if you'll come to him, he's not waiting to judge you. He's not waiting to say to you, now that I've got you back here, you dirty, rotten so-and-so. No, not at all. He's saying this morning, come and dine.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, presently delivering a series entitled Recovery Together with God. We're discovering how to truly, authentically recover, to heal from past abuse, from difficult decisions and the consequences that we're experiencing, or from addictions. Whatever your struggle, or whatever the struggle of someone you love, this series is a tremendous resource. You can find the entire series at dailyintheword.org. You can download it. You can pass it along to a friend. You can even subscribe to the podcast. I do hope you'll visit dailyintheword.org. You know, we love to hear from our listeners, and your investment, your partnership with us financially into this ministry helps us continue paying for airtime on this station and on stations all over the country. We thank the Lord for the privilege of teaching and preaching the Word of God in your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us? Pastor Chappell has just written a new book. It is a powerful book and a tremendous companion to our present series. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Discovering the Power of the Holy Spirit-Filled Life, a life that is empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Living Beyond Your Capacity is a 200-page paperback book, brand new, right off the press. We've just had it a couple of months. We've been excited to place it into your hands, and we believe it will be life-changing. And we would like to send it to you this month for a gift of any amount to Daily in the Word. If you'll call us, or if you'll go on the website, dailyintheword.org, and click on the Donate tab, we would like to send you this book, Living Beyond Your Capacity, as our gift for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Again, you can do this at dailyintheword.org, or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. This book will change your life, or change the life of the person you give it to, I promise. Living Beyond Your Capacity will be a read that you'll never forget. So call us or visit the website and be a part of this ministry, and let us send you Living Beyond Your Capacity. Before we wrap up our program today, here's a word from Pastor Chappell.
We're excited about the Alaska cruise coming August 6th through 13th, 2011. I want to invite all of our Daily in the Word listeners
to plan now to join with us as we sail north to Alaska, take time daily around the Word of God, enjoy good Christian music, and great fellowship with fellow believers. August 6th through 13th, 2011, will mark a wonderful celebration of God's goodness and grace, and I hope you'll plan to join with us as we sail together to Alaska.
Well, thank you, Pastor and friend. Don't forget, we're heading to Alaska, August 2011, for our ministry cruise to Alaska. It is an adventure you will never forget. We would love to have you join us on this 7 days of exciting adventure and spiritual growth and tremendous Christian fellowship. You'll find more information at dailyintheword.org. Just click on the Alaska Cruise button. You'll see all of the information there. It is a week that you will never forget. I hope you'll join with us and go to Alaska in August of 2011. Again, for more information about our ministry or to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.